12 seconds after the hour of 12 in this, the month of July, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you'd like to engage with us electronically today in some fashion, whether it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. It is Monday, and welcome to Day 12. Thank you for coming by. Coming up today, we have... Oh, I'm sorry. Is this Chris? And let me look at the Lisa Goddard and McCarthy. Okay, thank you. This is Chris. Okay, in just a moment, we'll bring on mailman Chris to the program, who's become the official stenographer. He's become the official court reporter of the Rick Emerson Show, providing the definitive record of what has gotten to and what has not gotten to. Have you guys all seen that Live Journal page, though?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
I thought it was a chick because it was some weird, but it's not. It's Dan from New Zealand. It's some weird name, though. His online name looks, it's some kind of girl name. And then the emoticons are all kind of feminine looking. But apparently it's, I guess they do things differently in New Zealand. Dan from New Zealand is the guy that runs that Live Journal page, where every day at like 3:01 you can go there and there's, it's like that guy used to do for Howard. There was that, that site called Mark Spriggan, which was just a daily recap of everything that Howard did that day. And so it's kind of weird to see a site that sprung up that's sort of like that for this program. And you don't really realize what a bizarre show this is until you see it all boiled down to a series of nonsensical black and white phrases on a screen. Then you realize just what a rolling cavalcade of retardation this program really is. Well, in any event. Well, see, now I have to bring on Chris right now because I'm going to begin teasing things. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show official program stenographer, mailman Chris. How are you, sir?
Not too bad, Rick. And yourself?
I am fine. Now, do you work, and this is a dumb question, but you're a mail guy, so do you work Monday through Friday or like a Tuesday through Saturday? How does that work?
Rotating day off. I work six, Monday through Saturday with one day off every week.
Is it true that you really wear a pith helmet?
Well, when it's really hot, yeah. It keeps the sun off my bald head.
Now, fair enough. Don't be touchy about it. I was just asking. Now, is there a reason why, specifically, why a pith helmet? Why not a baseball cap?
We can, but they've got baseball caps for us, but we buy these rain helmets, these safari helmets, and they work really good for rain. They work good for sun.
So there's no special, is there any special construction or fabric? Is there something special about a pith helmet that makes it the quintessential sun-blocking headwear?
It's hard plastic. Nothing gets through it.
So you could be wearing one of those St. Patrick's Day things.
That too.
All right. Okay, so are you ready to take notes on what will be coming up on today's program?
I am.
All right. When we last left the Rick Emerson Show, I owed 17 push-ups. Here it's like a win-win sort of a thing, because if I get everything done, I don't owe push-ups, and I spare myself shame and embarrassment. If I owe push-ups, I become even more physically... I become even more manorexic, in the words of CJ the Vegan. We'll fix his little red wagon later on, by the way. All right, coming up on today's program, we have a Geek Watch. Is it a double or a single? I believe it's a double Geek Watch.
I believe it's a double one. Yeah.
Clown Watch coming up today. Clyde Lewis will be joining us later on this hour to gloat about the fact that astronaut Buzz Aldrin saw a UFO when he was on the moon. Lisa Goddard will be joining us live from Jerusalem. I believe, now this is not going on the list of things I'm guaranteeing. I'm simply speculating on this, that I believe we have a storm watch today. It's all very unclear. I think that Monday is now officially the day where Storm calls in, and we ask her about stuff, and then there's a lot of awkwardness when we try to figure out what we can talk about and what we can't. But I believe that day is today. So Storm Large from Rockstar Supernova, and we'll be getting another exciting installment of Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. Today's lyrics, of course, written by the multi-talented, multitasking Scotty J. What else? Oh, and because it was hot where everyone was this weekend, we will get to... it was so hot that it knocked MySpace offline for like a whole day. And that's a thing you don't really realize. You go there 100 times a day until it's not available, and then you're just sitting there like one of those rabid crack monkeys, just pressing the refresh button over and over again. It's all... it's back up now. So I put off adding... Because I got all the pending friend requests, and I just do it like once every couple of days. And then I felt bad that they were stacking up. And then it was in my Franklin as an A for Sunday. It was like A2. To go to update friends list on MySpace. And then it was... And because I'm so anal retentive, it bugs me every time I can't get something crossed off of my Franklin. So I had to forward plan it, as they say, today. No one cares about this. The point is, it was hot where everybody was, so we will do today's top five burning songs. Top five songs about burning in some fashion. So there you go. Anything else? No. I think that's it. All right, Chris, have you got that?
I got a geek watch, a clown, double geek watch, a clown watch, Clyde Lewis, Lisa Goddard, Spot the Fake Lyrics, and the top five burning songs.
Fantastic. So we'll check back in with you at
Storm.
We'll check back with you at 2:45, and for each item not gotten to, I will then owe Sarah Dillon and the world at large another push-up.
Excellent. Talk to you then.
Fantastic, sir. Thank you. There you go. That's Mailman Chris. Excellent. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We'd like to give a preemptive... is that the word I'm looking for? Sometimes, you know, you get a word and it's not wrong, but you get the feeling it's not exactly right. Preemptive?
It all depends on what it's used with. Like a preemptive strike.
That's always right.
Are you trying to do something
especially
before the fact?
Especially if it's Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, whatever. Anyway, we'd like to give a hearty hello and congratulations to our friend Peter Carlin. Do we know if Peter Carlin's coming on today?
We don't. I'll call him.
All right. Peter Carlin, who got a two-page...
Not just a mention.
Not just a mention, not a blurb, not a paragraph, not a sentence. He got two freaking pages in the New York Times Review of Books. That is the gold...
That is the Bible of the book industry.
It is the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is the standard by which all book reviews everywhere in this republic of ours are judged. He got two pages in the Sunday New York Times Review of Books for his new book, Catch a Wave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys' Brian Wilson. Look at that. And we're here's the thing, and we still don't even know if it's out. I think he said his agent has got a copy, but he still hasn't. Anyway, so I believe we're talking to Peter Carlin today. But I'm not entirely clear on that. Peter Carlin,
don't mark that one down.
No, that's just sort of a speculative. You know what it is? That's like when you're doing the test in pencil. I believe Peter Carlin will be on today because he was out of town. He was at the upfronts because they were doing the upfronts in L.A., where, by the way, Aaron Sorkin just put his size 12s right down his esophagus. We'll talk about that. So we may or may not be speaking to Oregonian TV critic Peter Carlin today. I know he's going to come in the studio at some point and just relentlessly whore this book that he's got out, which is apparently fantastic. All right. And there you go. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email it, rick@rickemerson.com. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm a little sunburned. How are you?
How was the wedding? How was the coast?
It was beautiful. Went swimming and got
scared. Now, when was the wedding?
It was on Saturday.
Saturday? And this is some friend of yours? And...
Yeah, well, we went on Friday night. There was a big barbecue. Yeah, two of my friends got married. So, yeah, a huge barbecue and got to swim and, you know, drinking all day.
Yeah, but now, you're driving. You took the Taurus there?
Yeah, the Taurus.
Does it have air conditioning?
It totally does.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah,
see, there you go.
Nate was going to drive and he doesn't have air conditioning.
Oh, no, screw that. No, that's no good. Because it's you and Nate and Janitor John all in one big car. And you know, that's just going to be a stink fest without air conditioning.
It was fun. He's all like surfer guy now. So it made my Taurus look a little bit cooler because I had surfboard strapped to the top.
It's a rockin' Taurus.
Yeah,
fantastic. When did you get back?
Yesterday.
See, so you missed the huge, like, the whole city being wrapped in a wet wool blanket feeling.
I heard
feeling.
It was terrible. Yeah, oh, Muppet, dude. I guess, wouldn't even leave my house. He would go out for a second and then run back in.
That's Max's thing, man. It's like, and you got to check your dog's water, like every 5 minutes, because you'll fill it, and, like, 2 minutes later, it's gone. It's done. And then I bicycled because it's like, you know, I want to be fit and so forth, and it's... I mean, I understand that there are hotter places, and I understand, by the way, that people in, what is it, Queens? People in Queens, 100,000 people. It's like Lord of the Flies in Queens, man. 100,000 people, 5 days, no power. Aww. They're going on, well, it's not just that. We're going to talk to McCarthy about, Ed McCarthy's in St. Louis, or he's not in St. Louis, I guess. I guess if he was in St. Louis, he wouldn't be able to talk to us. Because St. Louis, there's 300,000 people there that don't have any power and haven't for, God, what, they're going like 2-3 days there. I mean, it's unreal. So, and I'm the first to admit, man, I got an air conditioner, and I got two of them, by the way, and I use it.
I got central air.
Yeah, and I don't feel any shame. I don't feel any liberal guilt about that. I don't feel bad about it. I go, my air conditioner hasn't been off for the last, like, 3 weeks, and it's not going to be off. I don't feel any guilt about that at all. That's what it's there for. So I would bicycle into work, and it's like you sort of feel good about it because you feel like you're being an American and you're working out and whatever. But God damn, is it hot! You just get here and it's like you've just come from Cambodia. You know what I mean? It's just awful. Of course, I wasn't allowed to complain about it because my wife was in Orlando. You know, and in Orlando, it's like it ain't nothing to what it's like there. So, in any event, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Well, with the MySpace shut down, the teenagers looked for other activities, including getting stuck in an elevator, lost on an island, and escaping the jaws of a man-eater alligator by poking in the eye. Why it was so hot, even Miss Universe passed out on stage in California. And FEMA trailers are toxic tin cans.
Well, there you go. We've got all of that. By the way, it's that, I don't know if you can see, does the studio smell any better today? I'm guessing that's a big no.
Not really. Yeah.
Here's the lesson that we learned over the weekend, kids. If you're coming into the AM 970 studio to try to... If you're going to try to make the studio smell any better, the thing to not do is to take the Glade air freshener from the bathroom and just spray a bunch of it in here, because there's no ventilation and the air in here is stagnant, fetid, and wet. And so all it... The guy at Couple was really polite about this. He said to me this weekend, he said, the AM 970 studio's got kind of a... stale smell to it, because when we're not here, the Couple guys have to come in and they have to sign some of our transmitter and program logs and so forth. And he said, he was polite about it. He said, your studio smells sort of stale, Rick, as opposed to saying that it just smelled like the inside of some guy's sock, you know, that's just played the 48 minutes with the Lakers. And so I was like, well, I gotta take care of that. So I went in, I couldn't find any, like, the non-scented Lysol or whatever it is, the stuff that just kills the germs in the air. So I went to the bathroom, and it's like a lavender chamomile kind of a thing, and you know what I mean? It's like that $1.99 Safeway air wizard stuff. And so I just in here. And man, I immediately realized that was a big mistake because it's not getting circulated. It's just falling right to the ground. So then it just smells like sweat and like sock and like butt and lavender, like all mixed together. I couldn't even come to the side of the building for half an hour yesterday. It just smelled terrible. So, yeah, there you go. And it's hot where you are. Let's go to Tim Riley at the City Desk.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the City Desk, Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. As it was hot where everyone is, I also went to the coast this weekend. But MySpace was down for 90 minutes on Sunday. What are the kids to do? Well, two teenagers are rescued after being trapped on an island in the Columbia River. The 18-year-old and 17-year-old were in a 14-foot recreational boat. When they became disoriented in the fog, their friends called for help at 2 in the morning when they failed to return. Then two teens were rescued over the weekend after being trapped for an hour in an elevator at the Max Lines Washington Park Station. Can you imagine the heat? Being kept in an elevator for about an hour.
And what island is this? Where are we talking about?
No, we're talking about two different stories.
Oh.
First, the island was on the Columbia River. Then the teens trapped in the elevator at the Washington Park Station.
Okay, that would... Zoo. First of all, that would suck.
Yeah.
I can't even... That's one of those... That's like a special episode of WKRP or something. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think about. I think about Ross Island, which is that island, obviously, by the Ross Island Bridge, which mm-hmm. is... we used to... Entercom actually looks right out onto that area. So you used to be able to see that from the Entercom kitchen. I wonder about Ross Island. Is that what the kids do on Friday nights around here when you're in high school? Do you just like take a boat out to Ross Island and party down there with the other young people? I always wonder about that. Whenever I'm living in a place where there's a river that has some islands in the middle of it, you wonder if that's where the youngsters go to get their drink on and so forth. And where was the elevator they were stuck at?
This is at the zoo.
Oh, God, can you imagine?
You got to take the elevator from the Max stop up to the street.
Can you? Let's all stop to imagine how bad the zoo must have smelled this weekend. I can't even... You talk about it as a job you couldn't pay me enough to have when it's like 104 degrees mm-hmm. out. And I'm not going to keep going on and on about how it wasn't so much the heat as it was the humidity. But the thing about Saturday was... See, you guys weren't here. The thing about Saturday was... Is they were giving me this whole, it's going to be fiery death from the heavens. The sun is going to be scorching down like a big blazing ball of doom and supernova from the sky, which wasn't the case at all. It was just completely gray. It was actually raining for part of Saturday. It was drizzling downtown. It was raining in Vancouver. And it's that horrible thing that happens sometimes in Portland and a lot of times in a place like Florida, where it was drizzling and raining and it was 107 degrees. And the entire, like the cloud cover was just wrapping us up like we were in a ball of wet, hot, terrible cotton. It's just awful. It was among the most awful days I've ever spent here, and that really is saying something. So, there you go.
Meanwhile, the Portland family's evening trip to Mount Scott Park took a bizarre turn yesterday when a man in the park had what was termed an adult-themed moment. This is supposed to be a joyous...
Was George Michael there?
Not yet. But there was supposed to be a joyous family birthday party complete with a barbecue and swimming, but when family members saw Rick Wright lying in the grass nearby, they thought he was, quote, jerking, or perhaps he was in some kind of distress or trouble. He wasn't.
Okay. That says it all, by the way.
Right there. No delay is necessary here.
No, they thought that he was jerking in manner of an epileptic fit.
Yes, they thought it was a seizure.
Okay.
It was not.
They were half right.
Apparently unfazed by the family's stunned reaction, Wright proceeded to ask them for a cigarette.
Where was this at?
This is at Mount Scott Park.
Now, which, I get all my parks confused around, even after like a decade here. I get, where is Mount Scott? I get that confused with...
Mount Scott is in southeast, isn't it?
I don't know. Well, see, I get it confused with Creston Park. Because there's Creston Park, and there's Laurelhurst Park, and there's Mount Tabor, obviously.
You're right.
I guess it doesn't really matter, since he's presumably not there any longer. But perhaps that's a park that's... Perhaps that's the Will Rogers Park of southeast Portland.
That could be.
So he was there engaged in an act of self-love. Is that what we're to understand?
Yes.
Oblivious to the fact that there were families nearby.
He asked for a cigarette also.
Cover your eyes, Ethel.
That's when the brothers and the family started chasing him. One of the girls said every time we chased him, he'd run the other way, but he kept coming back around the park, and I had to throw a Starbucks bottle at him. They chased right into a Shell gas station on the corner near the park, and a confrontation began. The fight ended when the police arrived and arrested Wright on public indecency and indecent exposure charges. He was intoxicated and may have mental health issues.
Okay. All right, so there you go.
So that's
maybe they should have just given him a cigarette and he would have gone away.
Oh, that's true, because that's what he asked for originally.
That's true. Are we going to talk about George Michael later?
We are going to talk about George Michael
later.
That's
fantastic.
Let me see if I can find
it. Oh, man. And, you know, sadly, I was not able to find the actual photographs.
We'll do it here.
Now, Sarah, do you only put up female photographs on your website?
No, I have George Michael on there. I've been away from the internet for 3 days, so
it was on the British newspaper website.
It was News of the World.
Yeah, it was News of the World.
But then I couldn't find it again this morning, because this morning all the other tabloids were sort of talking about it, but they were all referencing News of the World, because News of the World was the... They were the tabloid that we should back up and tell people what we're talking about. So, George Michael.
Do the story.
Let's do the story, and then I'll tell you about my search for pictures of George Michael wandering out of a shrub.
George Michael was busted big time by the UK tabloid drones, who captured a bizarre tryst between Michael and a nondescript bloke at 3 a.m.
And nondescript, by the way, is... When they say nondescript, that means you couldn't really pick him out or there was nothing special about him. Mm-hmm. That's not really true. Mm-hmm. You could spot him by the fact that he was bald and hideous and had a massive gut.
Meanwhile, the UK tabloid News of the World, roving reporters were roving in the woods and actually photographed the incident, and it's posted on their website. Michael's is caught, well, apparently embracing someone in the bushes after cavorting with a pot-bellied 58-year-old jobless van driver.
Okay, now, that phrase, cavorting with a pot-bellied 58-year-old jobless van driver, that is the phrase of the day that pays in May right there, kids. Mm-hmm. Has anybody else seen the photos of the guy?
No.
Oh, I saw him on Sunday, man. I guess there's nothing. I guess the guy doesn't look that bad, all things considered. No worse than I'm going to look when I'm 58 and bald and jobless. But this is George Michael we're talking about. George Michael, Faith, I want your sex. You know, wake me up before you go-go. Good-looking man of the world and 58 jobless van driver. I mean, I guess any port in a storm, but geez. And as Tim pointed out, the really bizarre thing about this is, it's not as though George Michael is somehow closeted or he's married and this is the thing he's got to be doing on the sly. There is no point to... I mean, George Michael didn't really seem to have any reason to be doing this on the down low. So I'm not saying that he's going there because he's also got a drug problem, but come on now.
When reporters confronted George, who's now 43 and looking much older.
Oh, he's 43? Okay, that's a lie. He's shaving some years right there. Shaving some years is the new phrase on the Rick Emerson Show, because we've recently discovered...
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, not that... No, we've decided we're all going to start doing it. Wait, who was it that prompted this whole discussion of year shaving?
I don't remember.
It was somebody that you worked with who has now...
Don of Don and Mike.
Well, that's Tim's allegation, by the way. But there was somebody else, Peter Berg. It was Peter Berg, and it was Peter Carlin, actually, who noted that. Because Peter Carlin had met with Peter, or had been at the upfronts with Peter Berg, who directed Friday Night Lights, and who is now one of the producers of the television show Friday Night Lights. And Peter Carlin noted that they went to college together. And they were, I think, were in the same class, went to college together, and yet somehow Peter Berg is now like 5 years younger than Peter Carlin is. And so Peter Carlin noted that he was shaving years. You then speculated This is only speculation, by the way. You speculated that Don of Donna Mike fame had also rounded down a little bit in terms of how old he was presenting himself to be. And so we've decided that we're all going to begin doing it. And I don't know if there's a given age at which you start shaving your years. Because when you're a kid, you try to round up. Like when you're 17, you want to look 19. When you're 19, you want to look 25. When you're 30, you want to look 22. So I don't know at what age that begins. I'm going to start it right now. From today on, I will be 29. Anyway, so George Michael is not 43. And even if he is, he looks like he's about 120 in these photos. 120, unshaven, slovenly, looks like he drools on himself a lot.
You're scratched up in the bushes, naturally, you're going to look
looks
older.
Awful. I mean, here's the other thing. Are we done with it? Have you finished the story?
Well, there are a couple of other
things. Okay, go ahead and read, and then I'll weigh in again.
Well, when reporters confronted George, they report he said he was wild-eyed and trembling, hiding his face under a baseball cap and screamed, "I don't believe it. F off. If you put those pictures in the paper, I'll sue."
Uh-huh.
Hempstead Heath, where he was, is a section of a London park that was scene of crime of the past. And apparently he stumbled to his flash Mercedes coupe, retrieved his keys from a hiding place on top of the rear wheel, and roared off into the night. Then they report that Michael's new friend emerged from the brush looking sheepish and rushing to his Ford Transit van. As he opened the door, a grubby stained mattress was clearly visible in the back.
Oh.
So then they chased this guy down to his apartment.
That's the worst thing I've ever heard. A grubby stained mattress was visible in the back. A 58-year-old
unemployed. That might be the second date.
Yes, that's when it gets serious. You're no longer an in-the-bushes kind of guy, George. Can I take you to the grubby stained mattress in the back of my van? Jesus Christ. What was my point here?
Sale of hotel furniture.
There was a fire in a nursing home, and I bought the leftovers.
There is a store on Grand Avenue that sells used hotel mattresses.
Oh, you're kidding
me. There's a whole floor of them.
Where?
It's a place that sells things from old hotels and
offices. But I mean, where is this store at?
It's on Grand Avenue.
All right, then. Well, fair enough. What is my point here?
I don't remember.
I don't even know, except that, he's off cavorting in the shrubs with a 58-year-old pot-bellied, bald, unemployed van driver, which I guess we've all got our tastes. But, B, he's so desperate to get into the shrubs to cavort that he puts his keys to his, what, Mercedes?
Yeah.
The keys to his Mercedes, he just puts them on the back of the car, basically. Sets them right on and says, "I'll be back for these." And then he comes, and he looks terrible. I mean, let's assume for the moment that one just plans to cavort in the shrubs with the 58-year-old unemployed van driver. Give yourself a bath. Shave up. You just clean up a little bit before you do that. Because if you're George Michael, you got to know that there's a guy from the Sun who's like one step behind you everywhere you go. It must be so easy to be the guy. That's got to be the easiest job on earth. What do you do? Well, I tag George Michael for the news of the world because every day and a half he's doing something. Every day and a half he gets caught, you know, engaged in some sordid activity behind a snack machine somewhere at like a Quick Stop. George Michael looks awful. You figure that he's got enough money and fame he could hire somebody to make him look decent for these trysts in the shrubbery. And that he acts all surprised. That is more credence. I'm not saying he has a drug problem. I don't purport to know. But that is more credence to the theory that he does because, and we were talking about this earlier. If you're George Michael, it doesn't make any sense that you're I suppose there's a certain type of person who's into the whole thrill of well, it's the illicit tryst in the weeds. And I guess there's men and women who are into that sort of thing. I don't really understand that, but I guess there's people who know that. Let's just go behind this, you know, this parking structure or whatever. Clearly, George Michael is not one of those guys who's turned on by the public danger of public sex because he gets pissed off every time I'll sue you out of my face. So I don't understand why he doesn't just have the guy sent to his home. You know what I mean? He's rich. He's not in the closet. Everybody kind of knows his deal, and so just have the guy.
You must have at least dial up.
Have the guy. And I mean, I guess he's with somebody. He's got a boyfriend or whatever. But couldn't you afford 8, 9, 10 houses if you were George Michael? Different house for each of your balding bus stop guys.
Maybe they're chosen next to Public Parkway.
Maybe. I don't know.
What is the proximity of his residence to this park?
I don't know. And you figure that's a guy who had it all sorted out at one point. Because if you remember back in 97 or whatever, when he got busted at Will Rogers Park. Do you remember that, when he first got busted?
And that's a nice area.
And he was on, wasn't Larry King, but it was some show like that. He went on CNN, and he handled it flawlessly, just like Hugh Grant when he picked up that hooker, Divine Brown. I remember George Michael going on whatever that show was, CNN. He looked all stylish, looked all dapper, and he's like, well, what can you do? It was you know, bloody silly. Ha ha, aren't I handsome? And everybody's like, well, he's not such a bad guy. But you have a limited number of times that you can do that, especially when you start looking like something the cat threw up, which is what he looks like now. So, anyway, so there you go. And the pictures are on your blog?
No, I'm still trying to find them.
All right. Anyway, so we'll track those down.
No, I'm busy looking for, a second job. The glamorous world of radio.
Radio rules. All right. Should we break here?
There aren't any jobs.
Jobs are all gone.
I understand there's some weekend shows in the making.
You're a bad person. You are a terrible person.
You knew
person.
That was coming up.
Terrible.
I was set up for that.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's 5:03. Maybe you can do the there's the Tim Nasey. Maybe you can be the Serendipity.
So soon to find a dippity?
Yes.
Will you be my dippity, Rick?
We'll be back after this with Clyde Lewis. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM970 Solid State Radio. It's 503-733-2970. By the way, Mount Scott Park is on 72nd and Harold. Oh, I know where that is. All right, that is actually near the home of Steve and Kathy. We're some good friends of the original.
Why don't have
show.
Your family picnic grew up?
Maybe that guy's the mascot. Oh, this is also from Steve and Kathy. Following up the Timnasium on Saturdays, Cerebellum. It's the Cerebellum. That's fantastic. All right, we got to do something with that.
Listen, it isn't like cerebral palsy.
Cerebell palsy. That's like a garbage pail kid. Cerebell palsy.
Is that a hyphenated last name?
I don't even know what to do with that, but it's mine. No one else can use that. That belongs to this program. Cerebell palsy.
Today's woman was cerebellum.
We're going straight to hell. Cerebellum is genius. Cerebellum is totally, that would be like a character. That'd be like a kooky name that some cast member would have on like a geek show on like tech TV or something. You know what I mean? Like you go to like that video game convention, you know, the E3 or whatever it is, and there'd be some, you know, like that'd be some geeky hot girl who would do like the Intel update or something. And now with, you know, Chipwatch, Cerebellum. All right. And it would be some hot girl, and you'd know she'd be smart because she'd have like cat eye glasses on. Let's see. What else do we have here? Lots of emails about how hot it is.
We got more hot stories coming up, as a matter of
fact. Really? Yep. Oh, this is Dan, who keeps our live journal page running. This is Dan from New Zealand, who's the one who does the recap every day. Rick, thanks for saying I'm really feminine or something on the air. I'm not saying you're feminine, but his username isn't Dan. His username is some gender. It's like Kiwiwana, something or other. And it's like the first time I looked, the icon was like a cat. And it's like you see a cat and you see something that's like Kiwana, and it's like you think it's a chick. How are my live? He's all offended. How are my live journal icons feminine? First of all, the fact that you're talking about your live journal icons. Let's see. Blah 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 blah. Also, damn, it's hot. Thanks for mentioning that. No, it's very cool that he does that. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
An 18-year-old from Puerto Rico who hopes to someday star in U.S. and Latin American films was crowned Miss Universe last night. I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name, but there are three of them here, and very long ones, too. She shared a nervous... My mic is breaking up, isn't it?
No, you know, okay, I'm hearing that.
I thought it was maybe my headphones.
I thought it was my headphones.
No, I think it is. I'm hearing something now. Ladies and gentlemen, is my microphone breaking up?
Are the headphones breaking up where you are? They're breaking up where we are. Okay, now, this is driving me crazy because I've been sitting here adjusting, fiddling with my the microphone jack here. Because remember that I had all that headphone unpleasantness a few weeks ago where I plugged them in, they didn't work. And so I've been hearing my left channel pop off. And I thought it was my headphone. I'm like, you know, I'm all, damn it. But these headphones aren't working and I just paid for them. Okay, but is it your microphone, do you think?
I believe it might be, yes.
All right, hold on a second. I'm going to actually unplug your mic for a second.
I'll be gone for just a...
Oh, of course they can't. The microphone can't be unplugged. Okay.
All right. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Oh, I was talking from far away. It's theater of the mind.
It was really convincing.
I need a weekend show to be able to do more of this.
You know, generating negative karma.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, it was like,
you have to show the letter.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
Okay, this is what
it sounded like. He's a management person. We can't.
Imagine
that third wall to come down.
Imagine that you're listening. Imagine that you're listening to an air check, and it was a lot of like. Here's what it sounded like. Mm-hmm. And then in the background, like a hold of. Like it was recorded on a Radio Shack cassette tape from like 1978 that had been taped over 1,000 times.
Time now for the K-Boo pledge break.
You're Steve Riley.
Meanwhile, we're talking about this Miss Universe, who has a very difficult name, which I'm not going to try to pronounce. She clamped her mouth in amazement when her name was called. She beamed as the crown was placed on her head, but briefly fainted after a post-pageant news conference.
I haven't eaten in 6 months.
Well, that, and she was wearing a dress made entirely of metal chains, was standing under hot stage lights, when she just toppled over. Bang. Clang, clang, clang. Bang. Somebody caught her as she fell.
Clang, clang, clang with the model.
All these people were injured by the dress.
That's fantastic.
I always had faith and confidence in myself, and I knew I was going to win. Then she fainted. She's from a coastal town.
Oh, she's hideous, too. She's not all that. She's hideous. She's like another 7 foot tall, totally underfed woman that is appealing to no one. Yeah. And a metal dress is a bad idea.
And, you know, wearing this funny hat like Carmen Miranda in the 1940s.
Yeah, Carmen Miranda's dead. Hey, by the way, isn't she, Carmen Miranda, dead? Long
Let's
time?
Let's not start this.
Oh, no, no, she's very much alive.
You're just provoking now. See, now you're just instigating.
Well, we don't want to talk constantly about death.
Okay, you're the one who's... Of course not. You're the one who was claiming Richard Dawson was dead. Do you realize after you said Richard Dawson was dead, Kristen in accounting immediately sent us a website that is, wait for it, RichardDawsonLives.com. Richard Dawson is alive, so they claim. I guess how would I really know? Unless he shows up and kisses me, how would I really be aware?
I mean, this could be like Tom Cruise's baby.
Yes, which is of regulation size. Speaking of death, do we have any drowning stories today?
We didn't have any drownings over the weekend, unfortunately.
No, that's Tim Riley who said that. Because I have a guy sent us this. A guy sent us a drowning sounder.
Drowning. I do. How about alligators?
I'm drowning here.
A guy said, no, it was hot, and so a guy's like, I sent you this drowning sounder because I suspect you'll have drownings this weekend. So,
well, actually,
he was anticipating our needs.
We have two alligator escape stories, which could have become drownings, and so much worse.
That didn't really count.
First comes to us from Florida.
That was me. I was first. Oh, damn. Why did the booby doctor suddenly play there? All right, here's Tim Riley.
This comes to us from DeLand, Florida. A 16-year-old being dragged into a Central Florida lake by a 12-foot gator used a tip he learned on the Discovery Channel to break free and save his life.
Fantastic.
What do you do? He stuck his finger in the alligator's eye. Should you.
I totally know that. That's the thing. If an alligator, like all men, I think I know how to get away from an alligator because I've seen it on TV. Just like I think I know how to survive in prison because I watch Oz. Mm-hmm. The deal is, yeah, it's totally your thumbs into the alligator's eye sockets. And that's the only part not covered in thick, scaly armor, basically.
Then we have a pet alligator attacking a drunk Russian owner. Is any kind of Russian?
The best part here's the best part about this, is this drunk alligator Russian story. At no
a
point.
A Russian alligator.
An alligator attacking a drunk Russian. At no point does the article actually say that the Russian was drunk. The headline they just assume it. Because he is a Russian, they assume he was intoxicated, although nowhere in the article does it say that.
And he was awake more than 2 hours, so.
And it was 5 a.m., yeah.
A pet alligator nearly bit his Russian owner's hand off when the man tried to give him a special treat of a sausage for holiday dinner. Now, that's pretty good. That's better than you know, your average Russian eats for an entire week. The alligator called Musya had lived in the office of a Moscow company for 8 years, and no incidents ever occurred. Okay. However, at a corporate dinner, I mean, how many people can bring an alligator to work?
It was a bring your alligator to work day.
Bring your alligator to work day.
We had, didn't we have pet day here the other day? Was there a pet day?
I don't think so.
I'm so confused about this because the CBS radio manual explicitly states that there would be no pets at work, and yet I believe there was a pet day
there
a couple weeks ago.
There are dogs here all the time.
Yeah, it's all very confusing.
Well, at a corporate dinner party dedicated to Fatherland Defenders Day, the company decided to give Misha his share of the celebration. I thought Misha should have a birthday too, said Anton. I gathered some food for the dinner and went to feed my handsome. That's what it says here.
My handsome.
The alligator is usually fed with great precaution. The food is thrown into the cage through a special small door. But with all the alcohol that had been at the party,
okay, there you
Anton
go.
Neglected Sorry. This and swung the main terrarium door open and offered the alligator some sausage, holding it in his hand. The alligator's reaction immediate. It rushed forward and clenched the owner's hand with its enormous jaws. Anton shouted in pain and managed to break free.
Doesn't it seem like there's a lot of alligator stories lately, not just here, but everywhere?
It's part of global warming.
That's what I was going to say.
Saw the Al Gore movie, you would have known.
Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, Perry. Hello, sir.
Hey.
Hey.
I wanted to mention something about George Michael.
Yes.
Well, you know, he's a crystal meth user.
Now, I do not know that to be true. You are alleging that this is true.
It's right. Not in his bio.
You've heard this, but so...
it's not in his IMDb entry.
Crystal meth usually lends itself to pretty freaky sex.
How do you know
that? Is this a theoretical speculation of yours, or do you have first-hand knowledge, sir?
No, I've done speed plenty of times.
All right.
Okay. Attention, and, advertisers. You too can reach this prime demographic.
So anyway,
have you ever met George Michael?
Would you like to? Do you hang out at Mount Scott Park, sir?
How about the rest area on I-5?
No.
Are you saying that the crystal meth increases one's libido to the point that one engages in risky sex?
Yeah. That's why he's finding himself in these, you know, weird situations. He gets all tweaked out, you know.
Well, he doesn't look... Now, does he look tweaking? He doesn't look like he's emaciated or anything. He doesn't look like...
I actually didn't see the pictures.
Sarah, does he look emaciated or otherwise underfed in these photos? Because that's the thing about the crystal meth guys is they get, you know, people who do a lot of that, they look really ultra skinny. They get all bony. They get
He looks a little dirty. That's about
it. Stinky.
Yeah,
but you can go on a speed bender and then, you know, go at it for a week and sleep for a week and eat, you know, and then go back at it.
Now, can I ask you a question?
What?
And again, you understand, I am not a prude in any way. I don't care what, you know, whatever. I mean, I'm just what people do with their lives is their own business. My question to you is, and I mean this sincerely. So this are we talking about crystal meth that you have done?
Yeah.
Okay. And again, you know, whatever. I mean, your life is yours. My question to you.
Are you asking? What was the question?
I haven't asked yet. My question is, why did you do that? And here's what I mean by that. At some point in your life, you were at a crossroads where a guy or somebody, whoever, said like, hey, Perry, here's some meth. Would you like to do it? And then you were like, well, either yes or no. And then you said, well, why not? Now, what made you decide that was something you wanted to do?
It's exactly why not is kind of the response.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, first time I did it, I was in my late teens, and I'd, you know, done the other, you know, weed, alcohol.
You were just working your way through the checklist, and it was next?
I'm not a full-blown tweaker or anything.
You're an apprentice.
I haven't used anything in this year, yeah. You know, but I've done it.
You get half a coin. All right.
Several handfuls of times.
Yes, you would agree that it's probably not a way that people should pass their time.
No, it's pretty gross, actually.
Yes.
I found myself, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't see myself making a career out of it.
That's probably good.
Even though there are plenty of openings.
Yes.
Right.
You're really no experience required.
Right.
All right. And the product really does sell itself. Perry, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you. There you go. That's Perry on the Rick Emerson
Show. I think that should become a promo. We're at the top and the bottom of every album.
I'm going to play that the next time we're meeting with an agency trying to get a big buy. Who listens to this Rick Emerson Show? Well, let me tell you. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent and woman of the world, broadcasting live from Jerusalem, the city of Yesterday, Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
I'm doing well. They call it the center of the world here.
The center of the world. All right. Well, the duly noted. There's only so many clever introductions I can give to what is essentially just this ongoing military conflict. So what is the latest today? What is the status of Israel vis-a-vis Hezbollah and this is the huge conflagration that's going on over there?
This is how I think of it right now at this point. I think it's basically the staircase of escalation. Every day what's happening, Israel is throwing a few more hundred troops into Lebanon, moving them into a few new areas, and then holding there for either a day or for most of a day, and then the next day go up another step, a few more troops. So it's not a massive invasion, it's not a huge ground war, but it is certainly limited fights that are growing.
Now, and Condoleezza Rice is currently there, is she not?
Yeah, you know, I skipped the whole Condoleezza Rice thing and got to the border, but yeah, Condoleezza Rice is right now in Jerusalem. She is meeting with Israel's prime minister and Israel's foreign minister, and then I believe she has those meetings some today, some tomorrow. She's also going to Ramallah in the West Bank tomorrow to meet with the Palestinian prime minister. Now, earlier today, the big surprise was she went to Beirut, Secretary of State showing up in a war zone and under very heavy security, met with Lebanon's prime minister. We've talked about him before. He is friendly to the United States, but he has said that he is angry with Israel and that if Israel does have a ground invasion, he would throw his troops into that fight. So she's trying to calm him down. She also met with the Speaker of the Lebanese Parliament, and that's important because he is connected with Hezbollah. So that is the closest conversation that we've seen between Israel and Hezbollah, the U.S., Israel's ally, talking to an ally of Hezbollah, and he flat-out rejected Condoleezza Rice's proposal. He said, listen, the first thing that needs to happen is a prisoner swap. Rice said, no, I want a package where everything is together, a short-term prisoner swap and a long-term buffer zone, all these things in one idea.
Well, that was going to be my question. I don't mean to sound overly cynical or defeatist about this whole thing, but this idea that, well, we're going to go to sit and talk to people and figure out what they wanted. You know, really, this is just like a bunch of irrational five-year-olds who are all sugared up and been left alone in a room full of automatic weapons. And they're just, they're going to smooth things out, and we're going to be back in the same place 6 months from now. And this is basically just job security for you and me and Condoleezza Rice and everybody. I mean, that's kind of what this...
Good for the airlines as well.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is never, ever, 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 ever going to be resolved or get any better, is it?
Well, this piece of it may get sort of resolved. I think that's as far as I'm willing to go. This piece, this issue with Hezbollah, this something could happen with this. But I think as far as overall Mideast conflicts, if you move Hezbollah back from the border, if you take away their weapons, if you pound them away so that they're weak, that's good for Israel. That means you have a threat that has been diminished or almost extinguished. But the fact is that many Arab countries we're hearing now, and we heard from Iraq's Prime Minister Maliki, someone friendly to the United States today, saying, listen, what this is doing is this is adding to the rage in Arab countries. People that want to be angry at the West are saying, look, Israel can do whatever they want to the Lebanese people. How is that fair?
It is worth noting that at no point yet has the White House just come out and told either party to knock it off.
That is true. They just keep saying, well, we want the fighting to end, sort of almost like the mom on the hilltop that's kind of like watching the kids, like, oh, I don't want to jump in. But the truth is that the U.S., like we said before, is clearly telling Israel, yeah, go, you need to take care of Hezbollah, and we're behind you on that. But the Arab world is starting to become more than impatient, I think, with that. So we are getting into a crisis point, but that's the kind of point, that kind of pressure could lead to some, I think, short-term solution here, short-term next year or so.
We should just tell them, we should just make this deal. We should talk to Hezbollah and Israel and tell them that if they agree to knock it off, we will produce Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes' baby. Then and only then. We will let them see baby Suri for 5 minutes in a room under heavy supervision if they agree to stop the fighting now and sign some sort of a peace accord. Otherwise, they've got nothing.
And you could also either do a promise or threat situation with Britney Spears and Kevin Federline.
Exactly. Yes, I'm going to make George Michael and Kevin Federline go live with them otherwise.
Right. So if you could, we could work that. Why not? You know, we've got celebrities out there promoting peace with concerts and stuff, but really.
That's, no, it's, this is really what they pay me for, is for such innovative solutions.
Shoot. That's right. I like it.
All right. Lisa Goddard, be safe. We will talk to you soon, Lisa.
Okay, thank you.
All right, CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard in Jerusalem. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. What a charming guy I am. 503-733-2970.
You're really tickling her fancy.
She's stuck in the middle of a foreign country with nobody to talk to.
The bar is set low.
Exactly.
It's not really like she's able to go see a lot of... it's not like they have a Harvey's or something.
And
there.
She can't call out.
Seriously.
Somebody call me.
No, hell, man, we've got to... CNN won't pay... Poor Bob Costantini. It's like, you know, as soon as 9 a.m. rolls around, he's getting paid like $3 an hour anyway, and they won't keep him on long enough to talk to us. They're clearly not... It's not like... She probably is, you know, can I get a phone guard? No, stay in your room. Let Emerson cheer you up. That's it, man. All right. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
You wouldn't think that Phoenix people would be dying for the heat. It's always hot down there, but apparently it's not so. Phoenix police say 4 people died over the weekend because it was just too hot.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's news.
Over the past weekend, Phoenix police officers responded to 3 calls on Saturday and 1 on Sunday, all of which involved deceased individuals. Preliminary indications indicate that it may be heat-related.
There are indications that they may be deceased. I'm unclear where the...
Over the past weekend, Phoenix police officers responded to 3 calls on Saturday and 1 on Sunday, all of which involved deceased individuals. Preliminary indications indicate that it may be heat-related.
Ah, these people were weak anyway, and here's how you know that's
true. Well, they managed
to
make one last 911 call.
This is
a deceased individual
call. Hold on. 911, can I help you? It's hot where I am.
Hello, is this a deceased individual?
Is this the body to whom I am speaking?
Look
damn.
At the weather map. It's red everywhere.
Here's why I can laugh about that.
Well, we're going to get an email any minute now saying these people are still alive.
Seriously. No, I can laugh about this because in Phoenix, everyone has an air conditioner.
You would think.
In Phoenix, they don't, it's like in Florida, they don't, to my knowledge, I've never lived there, but I know people who live in Phoenix, this show was on in Phoenix for a little while, for like a week, and in Tucson, too, which is probably not as hot as Phoenix, but Tucson is no, that's no picnic either. And as I am to understand that in Arizona, as in Florida, they simply don't build houses without air conditioners there because you couldn't live there.
Big, huge air conditioners on the roofs
of
these houses.
Yeah, I mean, it's unheard of. They don't build homes there that aren't air conditioned. So if you're dying in Phoenix, it's kind of your own fault, you know? It seems to me that if you're dying for the heat, just sit in front of the thing, don't move for a while. Because when I lived in San Diego, there's all these bumper stickers all over San Diego that say, Zony, go home, because all the people from Arizona will come to San Diego because it's too hot there, so... Chuck. Hello, Chuck. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. There was a drowning this weekend. Some Russian guy drowned at Battleground Lake.
Is that true?
Yep. Right here.
All right.
All right. Oh, and also, Cerebellum.
Yes.
Is actually a producer for Prairie Home Companion.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. I don't know if it's just a joke thing.
I believe
it's got to be a joke.
Credits
thing.
Every week.
It's part of that razor sharp Prairie Home Companion wit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the third thing
that's popular within sewing circles.
Kind of reminded me. You know, you call more than 3 tweakers in a room.
I don't know.
A twitch.
That's not really funny.
Oh, okay, well.
No, am I missing, Sarah?
I don't know.
Oh, like a gaggle of, it's a twitch of tweakers.
Yeah.
I see, so that's sort of a smile joke, not a laugh joke.
It's a Lars Larson type joke.
It's a wry bit of humor, okay.
It probably doesn't even merit the wah, wah, wah.
No, I thought it was a play on words, and I was trying to figure out what it is, but it's, so you're saying that's just sort of euphemism, so it's instead of a pack of wolves, it's a twitch of tweakers.
Right.
What did we have the other day? Didn't we have something the other day, a bouquet of clowns or something? Didn't we have some... We created some new discussion the other day.
It's possible.
It was just something of penises.
I don't remember.
Yeah. And how did you pick out the tweaker at Winco?
I don't know.
He's a guy with the shopping cart upside down trying to fix that squeaky wheel.
Okay, we're going to end this call now, Chuck. Thank
right.
you, sir.
Bye.
All right, and there you go. Thank you.
I'm drowning here. And you're describing the water.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Time now for a single, but a double geek one.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show.
That's right. Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
Columbia Pictures surprised Spider-Man fans at 2006 San Diego Comic-Con by publicizing the only appearance of director Sam Raimi, but bringing Spider-Man 3 stars Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst, Topher Grace, Thomas Hayden Church, and Bryce Dallas Howard.
I saw the, I was at the Lloyd, the Regal, the place. What's that one across from the mall? The Regal 10 or whatever it is, the one across from Lloyd Center Mall. Anyway, I was there this weekend and I saw the, man, they have that cool poster for Spider-Man 3 where it's like it's Spider-Man and then you, it's a magic eye poster. Not a magic eye, but the one where you tilt your head and it changes and it becomes Venom. Wait, hold up. I'm sorry, someone's calling. Did you ever see an area code that doesn't make any sense at all?
What is it?
351. Well, let's find out. Oh, now they're gone.
Now you're going to be charged $20 for picking it up.
Seriously. Well, what can you do? What was I talking about? Oh, anyway, Venom, blah, 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 blah. Friday, you know what I failed to do on Friday? On Friday, I failed to have somebody from Comic-Con on to talk about snakes on a plane. Because Comic-Con was the only place they're screening any of that. They screened a whole bunch of snakes on a plane footage, and Sam Jackson was there. A friend of mine was a senior panelist there, and I meant to have her call up. A, to titillate the guys in the audience by having, you know, like a chick call up who's like on a comic book panel. And B, to talk about snakes on a plane stuff. And I failed to do that. It's my own fault. I did see Clerks 2 this weekend, speaking of geek stuff.
How was that?
It was not bad, actually. I mean,
but not great.
It's not, I would say not a classic. I mean, it's, you know.
Kind of a Superman type of follow-up.
Better than Superman.
Okay.
But you know what? You can't go home again. And Clerks is such a groundbreaking film. I'm not going to say Clerks is like Citizen Kane. But, you know, in its own, by its own criteria, Clerks is a classic. It is a modern-day classic. It really is. It's right there with Reservoir Dogs, in my opinion. And it's hard. You know, you can't really ever recreate that first love again, you know, with a film. You know, it's just hard to do. It did have some insanely hilarious moments, though.
But
there were some jaw-dropping moments. And I got to tell you, it is a legitimately touching and poignant film, too. The final 20 minutes, it was a very legitimately touching film, especially if you are a guy who saw the original Clerks, because it happens in real time. In other words, it picks up with the characters exactly 12 years later. And so, you know, I saw the first Clerks when I was 20, I think 19 or 20, and it really spoke to me at that time in my life. And so this is...
Wow, the first one came out that long?
94.
Yikes.
Well, have we all seen Before Sunrise and Before Sunset? Oh, come on! Come on! I cannot believe you, Sarah, have not seen Before Sunrise.
I don't think so. What is it about?
It's Ethan Hawke and Juliette Binoche.
Oh, that's a talkie movie.
And I'm a guy, and I'm like the least likely audience for this, but it is, you know what, just call me a sissy. It is on like the short list, I'm saying top four, top three, of the best love stories I have ever seen.
Huh.
It is so fantastic. I'm not going to get sidetracked by this, but it is very talky. It's, I won't give anything away, but the whole movie is Ethan Hawke, he's just traveling through Paris, and he meets a girl on a train, and the whole movie is them real time, almost, just walking through Paris all night talking because he's got
to
leave in the morning.
And
it's like
they're
one. Yes, the music of Journey. And I know I'm making it sound tedious and all sissified and whatnot, but it's such a great, completely realistic depiction of when you meet somebody and it's like that first, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's so great.
What's it called? Before Sunrise.
But here's the thing. They did this amazing, and I do have a point. They did this amazing thing, though. They did Before Sunrise 10 years ago. And this last year, or 11 years ago, this last year, they did Before Sunset, which picks up with the same characters exactly 10 years later, and they're going to do it apparently every 10 years with these two sort of star-crossed lovers who meet every 10 years.
Huh.
And it's such a fantastic film. It is close to flawless. It is as close to a flawless love story type movie as I've ever seen in my life. I can't recommend it enough. It's wonderful. But Clerks 2 is very much the same thing. Again, because it's real time where you meet up with Dante Hicks and Randall Graves 10 years later. And, you know, it really, and I won't give anything away, but the guys, you know, people who saw Clerks 2 this weekend, you know what I'm talking about. That final sequence, the final sequence and the final 5 minutes of Clerks 2, it's worth the price of admission alone. And it ends perfectly. It ends in the greatest way that it possibly could. So I give it a big thumbs up. But not as good as the original. There are moments that, you know, the first 15 or 20 minutes, I have my doubts, but it picks up speed and ends up being a very, very good, very funny film. I am astounded, by the way, that it got away with an R rating. I mean, it's unbelievably vile and profane. I am staggered that it got away with an R.
Meanwhile, the Comic-Con crowd was also treated to the amazing footage from Spider-Man 3 put together just for the event.
Oh, yes. Oh, do we have sound on this?
No.
Oh, okay. You just looked at me with that like we have sound. Oh, but... anyway, but before Clerks 2, there was a Snakes on a Plane trailer. And it was like, you know, blah, 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 phobia, fear of snakes. That was the first words on the screen. And suddenly it's a whole theater of like 300 guys going, whoa, you know. And then they show the footage and it ends. And you know what's fantastic? It's just a whole theater full of guys going like, F yeah, you know, woo, Snakes on a Plane. You know, it's so great. And the movie's going to be terrible. We all know that. Mm-hmm. The movie's going to be ass, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's the shared experience, and it's the so bad, it's good. It is the triumphant return of the B movie, I believe. So the Snakes on a Plane trailer was fantastic, man. It was good. The other trailers were terrible.
Meanwhile, Gillian Anderson is pregnant just months after splitting from her husband.
Oh, Gillian Anderson?
Yeah. The X-Files actress has told friends she's expecting following her breakup from the documentary film.
Expecting a visit from Rick.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, she split from this fellow, Julian Ozone, back in April, 16 months after the pair.
Now, is that like the 17-year-old she was dating? Do you remember she divorced her husband, and then she was hooking up with some literally...
Yeah, she was all weird looking, too, with like the motorcycle jacket
she was all hot, though. But that's literally, she was dating like a guy who was like 19 or 20 or something, which is, you know, go Jillian. But anyway, she's pregnant now?
Yeah.
Does it say from who?
Let's see here.
Some guy?
This fellow named Ozan Clark.
Oh. But it is him, even though they broke up?
Yeah, her first husband's name was Clyde Klotz.
No. You can't stay with that guy.
Clyde Klotz.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's never going to be elected president.
Well, he's Canadian. He doesn't have to worry about it.
Okay.
Now she's dating a wheel-clamping film director, Mark Griffiths.
A wheel-clamping
film director, whatever that means.
Yeah.
Is this a British newspaper?
This is a Canadian newspaper.
Oh, well, God knows how they talk up there. Heathens. All right. Should we? Okay. This is Peter Carlin. Well, we have to break. Hey, Scotty, please not to be talking to Peter Carlin and Stone. We'll get to him right after this break, and we will lavish praise upon him for his fantastic review in the New York Times Review of Books. Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right. We'll be back with Peter Carlin, TV critic from the Oregonian and author of Catch a Wave, The Rise, Fall, and Redemption of the Beach Boys, Brian Wilson, reviewed in this month's New York Times Book Review. I'm going to miss the post here, so I'm just going to go with it. And later on, Storm Watch, Ed McCarthy, Top 5, all of that. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. You stay right there. When you're rocking and rolling.